Ladies and gentlemen, this chapter gives to us the very tragic information that Naaman, that we read about earlier on, he was a leper. And those details that show us that he suffered from leprosy, they offset all the other things that could be said about this soldier. It ruined his quality of life at the present time, and it did away with any hope of any quality of life. In fact, it ruled it out as far as the future was concerned. The disease of leprosy, eating away as it did, would eventually, if things continued as they were, it would take this man's life. In fact, many of you will be familiar perhaps with the teaching of the Bible regarding leprosy in those days. Those who had leprosy were very often just treated as dead men. They were pronounced unclean. They were as aware as anyone else that they were beyond human aid. The leprosy had poisoned the blood system. It brought corruption to their flesh. Because of its presence, they suffered terrible pain. What an awful thing it was. And folks, you know, throughout the Bible, leprosy is one of the most vivid types of sin. Because what leprosy could do to a man physically, sin will do to a man spiritually. Sin ruins life now. It blesses, it blocks blessing. It holds us back from the very best things. It certainly rules out any future of hope, because the Bible tells us that whenever sin is finished, or finished with us, that is, it brings forth death. So there is a day of reckoning whenever this sin has finished with us. It assures men and women of eternal loss. Just as the leprosy here corrupted and poisoned the blood system, the blood of fallen Adam, the father of us all, guarantees that you and I are on our way in our natural state to eternal doom. Because sin that is typified by this leprosy, it can bring pain beyond imagination. Every day it is ruining present happiness. And one day, this thing that's called sin that is beyond human aid, it will damn your soul forever if it's not dealt with. But Naaman here that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 5, he was cured. And as we take a journey with him, just through this chapter and what it tells us about him, about a journey through his experience, and we will see that in the life of Naaman, there was one major stumbling block. It was eventually beaten. But that major stumbling block was pride. Do you remember we mentioned it this morning? A stubborn stumbling block. But then it is in his life, eventually challenged and conquered. Don't you ignore it tonight in your heart. Bible tells us concerning pride that pride cometh before a fall, and one day for those who cherish this pride there will be that fall that puts you beyond the reach of God's grace when life is over and all opportunities are gone. Do not ignore this thing called pride, because it demands dominion in the life of the individual. It is always looking for attention. It wants all of our affection, and it seems so well rooted at times that it is immovable. But we're going to look at it and go with Naaman tonight. So we have this stubborn stumbling block, challenged and conquered. Now when we go back to near the beginning of this chapter, start to travel along with Naaman, we see that in his life there were those situations and circumstances, some of them that seemed to be unique to him, that really fed this pride. I want you to notice there, if you look, that there was, regarding this man, there was praise. We have read this evening there that this man, Naaman, was a great man with his master. The king of Syria was warmly devoted to this man, Naaman, who was his military chief. He stood high in royal favor, and not everyone had the esteem that he enjoyed. That always appeals to the flesh. We get puffed up. We begin to imagine that perhaps there's something special about us. It wasn't said of very many people regarding the king of Syria that he was a great man with his master. There was praise associated with his life. But there's also prominence associated with this man. He was a deliverer of the people. He was more than that. Church historians tell us that he was a great lifter up of the people at that time. He had furthered the interests of the country. He had, through his exploits, secured notable victory for his forces. He had brilliant skill. He had great courage. And his exploits were recognized and appreciated by people all around him. As far as soldiers went, there was no one to match him. Some of you may have heard of Josephus, the Jewish historian. Well, he thinks that Naaman was the man who, in a recent war, where the Bible tells us, had loosed off his bow at a venture. And you remember that bow had Ahab. He believes that this is the man that it was. This man, Naaman, when the people looked upon him, when the king looked upon him, he was worth his weight in gold. When the people looked upon him, he was a national treasure. So there was praise to build up his pride. Then there was prominence to build up his pride. But there was also his position. If you look there in verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Assyria." He was the captain there. In modern days, we would refer to him as the commander-in-chief of the king's army. Perhaps he had risen from a lower office and had been promoted through his various exploits and his behavior and how he conducted himself. And now he occupied this position above all other positions. He was a 5-star general. So everything we have seen about him so far would have been that which would have fed pride in his heart. And do you remember what the Bible tells us concerning our hearts? The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But not only are they deceitful, they're easily deceived. They're easily deceived. And because of our human makeup, we seem to naturally love the praise of men. And that praise can have such an effect upon us. Perhaps we're involved in something. You think of some of those people who've done great things to help other folk, and in the eyes of many, they are a cherished possession. And it affects our way of thinking to such an extent that we cannot bear to look upon our own hearts and think, "Well, I'm just a sinner." What about prominence? I think it's fair tonight to say that, given my experience of what I see around me during my lifetime, that prominence destroys most people. Thank God if you're a background worker. Or if you're someone who's not significant in the eyes of the world, don't worry about it. Don't waste your time striving after it. But prominence has a way of getting people to a place where they feel that all is well with them. And what about position? Again, it seems to me that men just love position. All of these things in Northern Ireland tonight will feed the pride that resides in men's hearts. The Bible, the Word of God, tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, pride will, in a subtle way, snare you. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, it will demand dominion in every area of your life, affect your thinking, and every aspect of life. Even bring you to that point where you feel that somehow or other you are the exception. I mentioned earlier that the Bible tells us that sin in its finish bringeth forth death, but it also says before that that it is appointed unto men once to die. I suppose if you had enough pride in your heart, there could be too much going on there for you even to consider the fact that one day you will stand before the Lord and give an account unto him of every opportunity that come your way. And as Stephen sang in that final and very appropriate piece, and the question you'll be asking, it'll be too late for what you've done with Jesus, but you'll be asking the question, what will he do with me? What will he do with me? So here we have a man, perhaps he started when he was very young. He entered military service there and he did what he could, and his heart was in what he was involved in, and he loved his country and he loved the people around him. And as time went on, he got recognition, and we find him at a point now where the Bible shows us clearly that he had the praise of the king, he had prominence in the country, and he had position in the army. But there's something else we want to notice about him. He had a problem. And as I said earlier, this problem, the problem was that he was a leper. And this problem brought him to a situation where he really was at a loss. He knew all about it. He knew what it could do. He knew what it meant for him. And remember this tonight, dear person, if you're not saved, sinners don't have everything. They don't have everything. Sometime the world will mock at the Christian and say, well, why don't you try and get on? Look what we've got. They don't have everything. One of the gospel singers in Northern Ireland some years ago brought out a good number of years ago, a gospel tape at that time, and it was simply entitled, Now I Have Everything, because he had Christ. Here's a man, and he had a problem, and his problem was leprosy. And if you read the verses there from the beginning of that chapter, you will recognize, you know the story perhaps of his little maid who was concerned for him. And while he's a man, and surely there's a great degree now of arrogance attached to his life, but he still recognizes that his situation is deteriorating, and he recognizes that great Naaman has great need. When unsaved people get to that point, there's always great hope for them. If they recognize that their situation is deteriorating, that sin has brought them so far and it's bringing them down a broad road, that one day we'll see them suffer eternal loss forever. That's a good thing. And if they recognize that they need something to be done regarding their situation, that is also a positive thing. But here is a man with this problem, and he has given the remedy. The remedy there is very simple. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a message unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. It seems like a very simple message, easy to understand. But remember here, we're talking about a stubborn stumbling block. Something which has been pampered and nurtured and nourished. And now we have a man with tremendous need, but a great deal of pride in his heart. Remember the verse we read before we prayed, verse 14. It says there that he was clean. He still has a way to go. He still has a way to go. Because as this message is brought to him, we want to see here very briefly that he is given the remedy, but as he is given this remedy by God's man that will cure his sin, he's told to go and dip himself there in the Jordan. You will see here that he went to the wrong person. He went to the wrong person. Please look with me at what it says in verse 3. It says, And he said unto her, that is her mistress, that is wife, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. The wee girl here, she's great distress for him. But if you look at verse 6, it says, And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. What was he doing going to the king? What could the king do for him? The king had power in the realm, but as far as Naaman was concerned, there's absolutely nothing that the king could do for him. He went to the wrong person. And sometimes people, when they recognize their need of salvation, while they will not go to another god as such, they will rely on what someone tells them. Many years ago, my father was working out in the countryside, and he went to a lady, an older lady at a house. And just as he went in through the front door, he could see the local clergyman going out to the back door. And she began to speak with my dad, and she wasn't well at all. And she said, you know, I'm old and I'm concerned because I know I'll have to meet my maker. Those were her words. And she says, I've just had a discussion there with the rector. And he's told me and brought me back to my days of confirmation and days of christening and my life in the church. And he's assured me that that is all I need, but I'm not, what do you think? And my dad said, well, I can't remember exact words that he used, but he said, well, it's not my business, but I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so. Blind leaders of the blind. Men and women, it is not any person or what they think is what you need. General Booth, who was questioned when he was an older man, he said, what was the greatest peril that he saw facing the Christian church in the coming days? And this is what General Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, said. He said, men will be offered a philosophy of Christianity that provides forgiveness without repentance, Christianity without Christ, religion without the Holy Ghost, and heaven, but no hell. And men and women, honeyed words will damn your soul forever and ever. There's one person you need tonight to go to with your problem of sin, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever set down, indicating that the work was finished. He went to the wrong person. But you will see also concerning this man, Naaman, that he went with the wrong price. He was totally of the wrong opinion as to the nature of the cure. You see, he brought a king's ransom with him. If you look there, and is it verse 5? I will send a letter on, and took with him 10 talents of silver. He brought really something he anticipated that he would have to pay for deliverance. There's one thing that sticks with me, perhaps more than anything else, regarding outreach when I was a student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. And we were doing outreach for the church that we were helping. We're out in the countryside, and we met, it was a predominantly Roman Catholic area. We met these group of children, I don't know what age they were, maybe 12. 7 or 8 of them. And they kept looking at us because they'd seen us giving out these invitations. And some of us said then, would you like one? And the first question was, how much is it, mister? How much is it when you're used paying for everything? And we were able to explain to them that in words that were suitable for those children, that it was without money and without price. See, Naaman went with the wrong price. And men and women that you're praying for in this province of ours tonight, they are still going with the wrong price. Do you remember Isaiah, the Lord's spokesman, using the language of a market trader, said in Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And ye that hath no money, come ye buy and eat ye. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. For why would ye spend your money for that which satisfieth not, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" It is without money and without price. And healing from the disease of sin cannot be purchased by any penance of yours or anything that you have to offer. One thing you need to get straight, and pride doesn't like this, and that pride in your heart that has held you back from Christ to this evening, that pride does not like this. That not only do you not go to any man, only Christ, but you don't go with any price because the price has already been paid. You want to rest upon what Christ has done. He went to the wrong person. He had the wrong price. He also involved himself in the wrong procedure. If you look at verse 11, he's been told now to go to the Jordan, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought." Isn't that such, so typical of men? "Oh, but I thought." No matter what you tell them. "Oh, but hold on, I thought." It's just man, isn't it? Well, he was no different. He said, "I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place." That means to wave the hand back and forwards in a formal way. It's a big show. And he says here, "Will he not come out to me? Does he not know who I am? I'm Naaman. I'm the top soldier. I'm the king's main man. I'm the champion of the people. Will he not come out to me? Who does he think he is?" You see, Naaman here, as far as he was concerned, had it all worked out. But if he was going to be cured, he would be cured in God's terms. And you may have ascertained tonight, as you consider your own need, you may feel that in some way you have it worked out. I want to say to you very clearly tonight, if you are not saved on God's terms, you will never be saved. You will never be saved. If you do not take the place of the sinner and you see that pride in your heart for what it is, it's held you back to this evening from the Lord, then you will never be converted to Christ. You will never be cured from your sin. Again, to be repetitive of what I said earlier, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This man had a problem, and he went to the wrong person with the wrong price and the wrong procedure. But he wanted to go to the wrong place. He started talking about all these other rivers. What about Abana and Pharpar rivers in Damascus? Are they not nicer than the rivers in Israel? Apparently the Jordan is filthy, but that wasn't the point. You see, he didn't want to go God's way. He wanted to go his own way, but the one thing here, the final push, as it were, to keep him from being cured was pride saying to him, surely not the Jordan. You're above that. Well, he wasn't above that. And pride in the heart of man will so often say, you can become a Christian, but you're just not in that position to be a sinner. To be a sinner. Many years ago, and I know that our time is motoring on, I think it was Roland Hill was preaching, and Lady Ann Erskine pulled up in her carriage to listen. She was very proud. And as Roland Hill, I think it was preaching, and if it wasn't him, it was someone else, they noticed her. And they said, we're going to have an auction. And it's going to be the soul of Lady Ann Erskine. And he called out in front of everyone, he said, Lady Ann, the devil places a bid for your soul. He offers you worldly popularity. He offers you riches and the praise of people and the favor of men. He said, then there's another bid here. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does not offer you riches here on earth or popularity. But he offers you forgiveness for your sin if you will take the sinner's place. Lady Anne, you've heard the two bids. Which one will you accept? And she stood up. And she said, I would gladly take the sinner's place. I will take the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. She got to the right person. She recognized the price had been paid. She followed the correct procedure and she took the proper place. You need to do that, sinner, tonight. Because this problem of sin, it's not going to just go away. So we have Naaman. And the stubborn stumbling block that was challenged and conquered. There was praise in his life, prominence, position. And this very serious problem, the battle was now going on. But finally there is the positive outcome. You see there that some of his men come and they said, listen, Captain Naaman, if he'd asked you to do something heroic, you'd have been the first man to do it. You'd have been leading from the front. And now he simply asked you to go down and wash in this dirty river, would you not do it? And he realized. He realized there for the first time just how he was. And says there in verse 14, to read again the verse we read at the very start, when he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. That was the positive outcome for Naaman all those years ago. Why was it positive? It was because he obeyed the simple message. Go and wash. The message to you tonight, sinner, is very simple. Repent of your sin. Turn from it and turn to the Lord Jesus. The hymn writer said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood. That's the only flood. Beneath that flood lose all their guilty shame. With all their guilty stains. And tonight, if you want to have a positive outcome, and I want to say you can have a very positive outcome tonight, the pride needs to be dealt with. Is that what it is that has held you back for so long? Maybe it's years from you first recognized the need and you recognized you had to do something. But pride is so well rooted in your heart. Tonight still finds you in danger of eternal loss. I trust the Lord will speak on to your heart and to the message of Naaman, the army captain, the man who had such pride in his heart and then was delivered, that the message of this man will speak to your heart. You too will see this thing called pride, not only challenged tonight, but conquered in your heart, and you will become a new creature in Christ. We do thank you for listening, and we trust the Lord will bless his word to each and every one of the hearts of all who have listened this evening.